Paul. If you want to come up, I'll pray for you. Okay. Right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the way it speaks to us of who you are and of the life you want for us, the life you sent your son to die and to rise again to win for us. And thank you, Lord, that you want us to know you. And Lord, prayer is a vital part of that relationship that you have won for us, Lord. And I just pray for Paul now, as he speaks, as he helps us to understand this bit of John, Lord, that you'd speak through him by your Spirit, things that we need to hear. And Lord, that as a result of this time together, we would be encouraged to pray to you, our Father, to depend on you, and Lord, to ask you to change us and work in us, both as individuals and as a church family. Lord, draw near to Paul now, Lord, we ask, for your name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So we've come to the third topic in our series. We started 3 weeks ago with growing in Jesus, then last week, growing in love, and today, growing in prayer. It'd be great if you keep your Bibles open as we look at John 15, and it's really important that you check out what we're teaching. I really want to just make two major points this morning from this passage and about our desire to grow in prayer. Firstly, that this passage teaches dependence in prayer. We've already heard something about that this morning. But we need to have an attitude of complete dependence. And we need to recognize that that's the norm for a Christian, that prayer is not about crisis management. Okay, it's our normal experience of depending on Jesus. And the second point I hope to make and expand on is that we can't divorce prayer from the rest of our Christian lives. It's part and parcel of our relationship with Jesus. So as we pray, we'll be praying some of the kind of big picture stuff. But we'll also be praying about the nitty-gritty, the day-to-day, low-level, if you like, issues of our messy lives in a messy and a messed-up world. So, thinking about dependence. And I want us to look at three aspects of dependence. The first one came as a bit of a bolt to me when I was looking at this passage. Far too often I leap straight in and think about the relationship between us as believers and Jesus, the vine and the branches. But as I started looking in preparation for this talk, the thought of the gardener and the vine struck me. Such a picture of dependence. And Jesus shows how dependent he is on the Father. It's an amazing truth that the creator of the universe, the upholder of the universe, has a childlike dependence on the Father. Earlier in John chapter 5, Jesus could say, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." There's the Son of God showing that his normal everyday life was one of dependence on the Father. He expressed that dependence through his prayer life, as Richard was explaining earlier to us. And as his followers, we, his disciples, should have that same dependence. So just as Jesus is dependent on the Father, so should we be. I guess the next dependence that this passage shows is our relationship to the vine. And it is that verse, is it verse 4, apart from me? It isn't verse 4. It's verse 5, thank you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I wonder, as we are thinking about these verses, have we really grasped what that means? I think it's especially tempting in a church like ours, where we can put on a reasonable show without any recourse to God. We've got people who are skilled public speakers. We've got some knowledge of the Bible. Let's just realize how utterly empty that would be, how devoid of any real power. So let's not be under any illusion that we can be effective alone. Jesus' words are clear that apart from me, apart from him, we can do nothing. And in the branch and vine analogy that Jesus is, the picture he's painting here, he shows how absurd it would be for a branch to take itself away from the vine and hope to continue to grow and to bear fruit. No, says Jesus, that sort of branch just ends up as firewood. There's no growth, it withers. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're to be dependent on the Father, we're to be dependent on the Son. We're to be dependent on each other. When this passage talks about us bearing much fruit, I think one aspect of that is the Father's love being displayed in us to one another. You can't display love in isolation as a one individual. Of course not. We need to be together. We are all branches of the same vine. And elsewhere in Scripture, we have the remarkable picture of us all as parts of one body, and how that emphasizes, above all, our interdependence. And this knowledge of our dependence on each other should shape our prayer lives. So how are we going to grow as a church in prayer? Well, by growing in Jesus and by growing in love. These themes that we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks are all interconnected. We can't separate them to some extent. And we need each other to encourage and to challenge us in our prayer lives and in our community as we pray for one another and as we recognize God's work in response to our prayers. And again, we've got an opportunity to express this dependence together next Saturday with our planned day of prayer and fasting. We're going without the normal provision of food. We remind ourselves physically that we're truly dependent on God. He meets our daily needs. We have abundance. And by taking time not to make use of that, we remind ourselves, don't we, how dependent we are on our Father. And that should impact reminding us how dependent we are spiritually and in every aspect of our lives. Let's make it an aim to meet together and to pray, bringing these things to our loving Heavenly Father as we pray for each other, as we pray for our communities, our neighbors, our friends, our city, our country, our world. I'd just like to make the point that don't make the mistake of thinking that God will love you more if you fast, or love you less if you don't. No, that's a route to legalism, and my feet have often trod that path. God doesn't change in his attitude towards us. And we're going to pray because as children, we're dependent on God our Father. The second main point I'd like to bring out is how we can't separate prayer from the rest of our life. It's a whole life. It's all of life. And prayer is one aspect of that. And we can't do prayer in isolation of life. So you're not going to get a new technique this morning for prayer. Jesus prayed as just part of his whole life. He didn't have prayer days and days when he was independent of God. No, his whole life was one of trusting obedience to his Father. And his prayers, his prayer life was in that context. Just look at these verses I've picked out from the passage we've had this morning, describing our relationship with Jesus. Remain in me, he says, as I also remain in you. He said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And finally, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus goes on to describe us not as servants, but as friends. He describes how he shares his plans and purposes with us, his friends. And he does that in exactly the same way as the Father shared his plans and his purposes with the Son. And the inference in this passage is regarding the best of those plans, the highest of them, now fulfilled to show the greatest love, laying down his life for his friends. I don't know what those disciples thought as they heard Jesus say those words. We've got the perspective of the whole of Jesus' history, how he ended up on that cross, laying down his life for his friends. So we can't learn prayer in isolation of our relationship with Jesus. If we try to do that, we end up, we're in danger of becoming hypocrites, pretending to be something that we're not, and not admitting what we are. I remember one day, long, long time ago, as a child, when my big brother was in trouble. He'd done something wrong, but he wouldn't admit to it. This went on all day long, him holding out, not owning up. Came to bedtime and he prayed. And he said something like this. He said, please forgive me if I did it. And please forgive Paul if he did it. No, we need to be consistent. A whole life attitude to prayer. And unlike my brother's prayer, it needs to be real. This is all part of our life in Christ. We need to encourage one another to ask for things. we can go for those kind of big picture stuff, the large vision things, if you like. I've been asking anybody who would listen to pray for me from Psalm 27. It says, one thing I've asked of the Lord. And he goes on to say, that I may see the beauty of the Lord. And that just struck me a little while ago. And I've been making it a prayer. And I've been asking people to, as I say, anybody who asks me, I say, pray that for me. Pray that I would see the beauty of the Lord. So that's kind of a big picture. And we should see this as normal Christianity. We want to grow in Jesus, don't we? Well, let's pray for one another. Let's pray those kind of things. We may also have the humdrum issues of our ordinary day-to-day life. And it's absolutely right and good that we should pray those things for each other too. So if we've grasped this whole kind of dependent thing, we'll realize that our prayer, it all fits together. It has to be a whole of life attitude. When Mary was asking the children earlier who this was and they could identify their daddies, can you imagine if those little children came to their mum and dads and asked for something, and maybe they got it, maybe they were told to wait, but then they went away and parents didn't see them for a few days, and then they came back and they would ask for something again. It's an absurd picture for little children, isn't it? But isn't that how we try to live so often as children of our Father? We say we're dependent, but we actually want to live independent lives. And if things seem to be going okay, we just kind of get on with life. When crisis hits, we'll come and pray and we'll ask for stuff. So maybe the challenge from James 4, you do not have because you do not ask, is something that we need to prayerfully consider. So we need to let Jesus' words remain in us by his Spirit. Through times like this, as we together encourage each other to look at his word and to consider what it says and to be taught. And as we seek to let Jesus' words remain in us, how's that going to impact our prayer life? It'll give us a greater grasp of what God is seeking to do in our lives and with us. And in terms of that kind of big picture stuff, remember that what he is concerned about for you and for me is, above all else, our holiness. Something he's intent on. In Ephesians, it talks about wanting to present us to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So as we pray for things, we need to have in the back of our mind that that's where Jesus is aiming me, you and me. That's where we're heading. So these things that we're praying for, how do they fit with that overall aim and purpose of our lives? So, just want to summarize what we learn from all this. I hope we've seen how Jesus' life was one of total dependence on the Father, and how that affected his prayer life. I hope we've seen that his life was a consistent life. There was no distinction, as it were, between his praying and his living. His attitude to his Father was a constant one of dependence. And he prayed in that context. And as his disciples, we should encourage one another to be the same, to be like him, and to grow in Jesus.